Thank you very much for tuning in to the Shepherd's Word podcast. I trust and hope that God will use me to speak to you, and also the little that I share with you will go a long way to bless and change your life. Today I want to share with you a word or a message that I've titled, How to Change Our Lives for the Better. How to Change Our Lives for the Better. As believers and children of God, the glory of God must be seen in our lives. The power of God must manifest through us. The world must see us and be touched by our lives. If we are praying and going to church and fasting and doing all the things that we are to do in order to grow spiritually, but our lives does not reflect the activities we partake of in the kingdom of God, then all that we are doing amounts to nothing. Because when we pray, we must see a positive change in our lives. When we are going to church, the messages we hear must reflect in our lives. That is the only way that God will be seen in the world. And the world will be changed by us through our lives. So I trust and hope that this message that I share with you will add something to your life and bring total transformation to your lives. So how to change our lives for the better. I'm going to take my scripture reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, how does this verse that we've just read relate to how we can change our lives for the better? It may not relate directly, but the principles that is teaching can be taken and applied to our lives that will effect change, positive change in our lives for the better. When you read the verse 2, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That is very interesting. It gives us the state or the condition of the earth, whilst the presence of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God is giving an account of the state of the earth. And it is very profound, because how can God be in the midst of chaos? It tells us that no matter the condition of your life, no matter how chaotic your life is, God is present. God is present. The state of your life does not take away the presence of God. You may not see Him at work. You may not see Him in your life. You may not feel the presence of God in your situation or in your life, but He is there. The picture God paints about the earth as He was seeing it means that we can be in that state and still have the presence of God with us. But we are not supposed to stay that way, because when God witnessed that scene, He didn't allow it to be like that, or He didn't remain there like that. So let's do a few observations of this and then see how best we can apply the principles to our lives to effect change in our lives for the better. When you read the verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God, in the beginning." In the beginning, what does that mean? Three things. In the beginning could mean that what God was faced with. And what was He faced with? Darkness, void. The earth was without form. He had created the heavens and the earth, but the earth was without form. It was void. There was darkness everywhere. That was what He was faced with. That was where He started from, or that was what He witnessed from the beginning. So in the beginning could mean that He was faced with something. And not just that, it could also mean that He began with something, or where He had to begin. Where He had to begin. That is one meaning of the statement "in the beginning." Where He had to begin. Where He had to begin. First is what He was faced with. The condition of the earth after creating the heavens and the earth. And then second is where He had to begin. He had to begin from the dark. He had to begin with what was available to Him. And thirdly, in the beginning could mean what He had to work with. What He had to work with. All He had was darkness, was formless, and was void. That was what He had to work with. And how do we relate this to our lives? Sometimes in our lives, where we begin from, or what we are faced with, could not be that appealing to us. But that is where we must begin from. For example, when I wanted to lose weight, I'm still heavy. I've not lost the weight yet, but I'm in the progress, or in the process of losing weight. One day I realized I had to lose the weight. That was what I was faced with. Heaviness. And that is what I must begin with. Or that is where I must begin from. By acknowledging my state of weight. And that is where maybe you also have to begin. Or maybe you are broke. That is what you are faced with. Maybe you are lonely. That is what you are faced with. Whatever you are faced with is your beginning. It's where you begin from. And sometimes it is what you begin with. And you must go with it. And sometimes it is what you must work with. So in the beginning tells us or means to us that God was faced with something and he had to begin with that thing and also work with that thing. You understand? So when we come or when we decide to change our lives for the better, these are the starting points we start from. We become aware of ourselves, our current condition, and then decide to begin with what we have and work with what we have. And then when you pay close attention to the verse 2, it begins with the earth. The verse 1, we are told that God created the heavens and the earth. But in the second verse, we are told that he saw something wrong with the earth. Not with the heavens, but with the earth. And if we want to relate it to our lives, the earth can represent our lives, the state of our lives. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Our lives can be without form, can be void, and there will be so much darkness in our lives. That is how the earth was, and that is how sometimes our lives is. And we desperately need change. And not just our lives does the earth represent. It also represents the situations we are faced with or the situations we find ourselves in. That could also be the earth or the condition of the earth. Without form, void, and darkness on the face of the deep. So the earth represents our lives. And it could represent the situation we find ourselves in. Sometimes darkness will be on the face of the deep. And also the earth can represent some areas of our lives. Sometimes you can be winning big in one area and losing miserably in another area. And if you want to have a balance of success in every area of your life, then you need to become aware of where you are, what you have, and what you have to begin with. And then when you decide on that, then you have to seek the light. And the light represents new ideas. It represents new relationships. It represents new opportunities. When you want to change your life for the better, when you become aware of yourself and where you are and decide to change, you must first begin with what you have, work with what you have, face whatever you are confronted with, and then just start seeking new ideas as to how to change where you are and the conditions you find yourself in, and start seeking new relationships, new connections that will lead you closer to the change that you want, and also to seek new opportunities. My friends, you don't have to remain where you are. If you remain where you are, then it means you have chosen to remain where you are. Because everything is subject to change. I'm going ahead of myself, but I need to make that point. Everything is subject to change. So that is what God was confronted with. the state of the earth. It was imperfect. But God is a perfect God and wants everything of His to be perfect. So wherever there is imperfection, He seeks perfection. So if your life is not in sync with His, or is not in accordance with His will for your life, He seeks that you change in order for you to be in line with Him. Because your life is very precious to Him. Your life is very precious to Him. That is why when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God had to send His Son Jesus to come and save us, so that the world will be reinstated into perfection. But that's another story for another day. But God is constantly seeking perfection for His creation. He's constantly seeking perfection for His creation. So if God is constantly seeking perfection for His creation, then His creation must also be constantly seeking perfection for themselves, so that they can positively affect the world to bring glory to God. So what are the lessons or principles we can learn from this to apply to our lives to effect change for the better? We've looked at what in the beginning means. We've said that it is what you are faced with. As in the case of God, He was faced with a formless world, a void earth, and a dark earth. It also means what you have to begin with. In the case of God, He had to begin with what He had. And it also means what we have to work with. In the case of God, He had to work with what was available to Him. And same thing applies to us. You're going to be faced with something. You're going to begin with something. And you're going to have to work with something. But the key there is to begin. You don't have to remain where you are. You have to change it if you don't like it. And it is the will of God for you to work your way to perfection. And we say the earth can represent our lives. Sometimes we need an overhaul of life. Overhaul of life. Everything about you is just backwards and backwards and backwards. Nothing seems to be working. You are from broke to broke. You get money, you waste it, you go back to broke. And sometimes you're just so lonely because you don't have maybe a partner. And things are just not working. So you need an overhaul of life. The earth can represent our lives. There's darkness. There's void, and there's no form, and you need a change. The earth can also represent some situations that we find ourselves in. It can also mean some areas of our lives, as in the dark. Maybe you're doing well in the business field, but failing miserably at home with your marriage. That needs a change. That's darkness. That's void. That's an earth without form. And it begins with having the light. And we have made a point that the light represents new ideas, new relationships, new opportunities. These three will help you to at least get on the right track to changing your life for the better. So I'm going to share with you four principles that we can learn from this verse that we can apply to our lives to effect change for the better. The first principle that we can learn from this is that, as I mentioned earlier, I haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm going to mention it later. Number one is we must be clear on what we want. We must be clear on what we want. What do you want? God was faced with darkness. And what did he seek for? Light. So what do you want? If you're broke, it means you need money. If you're lonely, it means you need a partner. What is it that you want? You must be clear and precise with what you want. What do you want? That's number one principle. You must be clear on what you want. The second principle we can learn is everything is subject to change if only we desire to change. I've mentioned this earlier. I was ahead of myself, but now I'm making the point that everything is subject to change if only we desire to change. We are told in the verse 2 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What is he doing? He desires change, and he's thinking of ways to change the condition in which he finds himself. And therefore, the verse 3 came about. He spoke light into being. So if you're clear on what you want, then you must desire to change. The third principle we can learn is we must actively respond to everything that life brings our way in order for it to work for us and not against us. We must be active in responding to what life brings our way, so that whatever life brings our way will work for us and not against us. Let me give you a very practical example. If a woman gets pregnant, that is the blessing of the Lord. That is what life has brought her way. If she enters into labor and refuses to push the baby out, that baby is going to die in her and with her if care is not taken. That is how practical I can get with this example. So everything that life brings our way, we must actively respond to it so that it will not work against us, but rather for us. It is not always a bad event that life brings our way. In the case of the pregnant woman, having a child is a blessing from God. But sometimes a blessing can be a curse if you don't actively respond to it. So whatever that life brings your way, respond to it actively. Don't be passive. Be proactive towards everything that life brings your way. So number one, we must be clear on what we want. What is it that you want? What is the outcome that you want? You must be clear on it. And number two, everything is subject to change. If only we desire to change. If you desire to change, change is possible for you. If you desire it, it is possible for you. You don't have to remain in your misery. You don't have to remain in your brokenness. Change is possible. Change is available if only you desire it. And number three, we must actively respond to everything that life brings our way in order for it to work for us and not against us. Sometimes it's bad events that life will bring our way, but sometimes it's a blessing. And if we don't actively respond to both events, it can work against us and not for us. But if we actively respond to any event that life brings our way, good or bad, it will work for us and not against us. And fourthly, and final, the power is with us to determine the outcome of our lives. The power is with us. The Bible makes us to understand that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So God has given us power. The power is with us. He's given us our will to choose. So he's not going to come down from heaven to make the choices for you. You understand? He's not going to make the choices for you. You must make that choice yourself. You must make that power work for you because he's given it to you. You know, you can delegate authority, but not responsibility. God has given us the authority, but he's not going to take the responsibility on himself. You must take the responsibility yourself to change your life. So these are the four principles that we learn from the actions or the action God took in this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. He responded to his environment, to his situation. He affected his situation. He did not allow the situation to affect him. Why? Because he had the power. And it is that same power that is at work in us. So wherever you are in life, in whatever situation you find yourself at the moment, change is possible. Change is possible. If only you desire it enough. If only you know what you want. You can have what you want in your hands by actively taking the necessary steps, being consistent, being persistent in working towards your target. You will see the change that you want. It's going to take some time, but it will happen. So as a child of God, you can effect change in your life. You don't have to remain where you are. And I pray that God will help you apply these four principles to your life so that you see a total transformation of your life that will affect those around you and bring total change to your environment so that he gets the glory at the end of it all. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Gilbert Ashfordafo, and until next time, God bless you. Shalom, peace, and life to you. Bye-bye.